Amen. I want to preach on a little cake. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is Elijah. You know the story. The Tishbite. He's been down by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He's been there for some time because of the curse upon the nation. God's hidden him there. And now the brook begins to drop because there'd been no rain in the land. And now God speaks to this prophet. You know, the man of God is always in place with God. He moves him now. In verse 8, we're going to pick him up right here. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, I want you to notice this setting for a moment. Now, Elijah has nothing but the provision of God. That's it. I said, that's it. It's nothing but the provision of God. He can't go home. God's already hidden him from that. Can't go back to his family. He's hidden by God. Has nothing but the provision of God. Now that brook's dried up, ravens are not coming. I mean, God cuts. You know, when he gets finished with one thing, he cuts it off. Amen. Now he sends him to Zarephath. He says, I've got a widow woman going to take care of you. He said, you go to Zarephath and you dwell there. Now you're gonna live there for some time. You've lived here. Now you're gonna live there. And I've got a little widow woman there going to sustain you. Now I'm not sure if God let him in on anything, but when he comes into the gates of that city, that woman's there. And she's gathering sticks. And here's where we catch him. Now, something is transpiring already in the life of this prophet. He's been hidden by God for three and a half years, and this time, hidden by God. Now he's going to Zarephath. Now here's a woman that she's felt the pinch of this great drought, famine upon the land, suffering down to their last meal. Her and her son going to die. She's already concluded that thought, made up her mind to that fact. We're going to die. We'll fix the land. I'm telling you, she never made this last cake so good. It was going to, you're going to bring out her best china, you know, wash yourself, get herself, going to sit down. You're talking about a prayer meeting over a piece of bread. They were going to have it. It's the last meal. She's convinced they're going to die. Now this is where this setting is when Elijah comes into town. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, there is a testing here to see what kind of response. You know, God wants to move in something or somebody. There's a word spoken into that. He just putting out that word. He said, well, I pray that give me a little drink of water. I'm not just testing. That's like throwing your cap through the door. You see whether it's going to come back out at you or not. Or you're going to be welcome. So he's just testing the water. I say, pray me, give me a little drink of water. Fetch me, I pray, the little water in a vessel that I may drink. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thine hand. Now this, it's all right. You clip your fingernails, toenails. You keep yourself high. Keep yourself taken care of. You cut that off into the quick. And that hurts. It hurt for days. You know, I don't know about you, but during the wintertime, I get these splits down the side of my fingers, and evermore does that hurt. Something about getting into the quick. Well, when he asked for a drink of water in that vessel, she could go to the local well. But when he asked for a bit of bread, that was going to come out of her own sustenance. And that cut into the quick. Come on, church. I'm telling you, he just kind of cast his cap through that door, see if it come back out. It's fine. You get a drink of water. But now you've asked for a morsel. This is coming out of who I am. Don't mind in general purposes, but she wouldn't have even minded for herself, I don't think. But she was taking care of that little whelp back at the house. Amen. I'm telling you, this wasn't even in regards for her own personal station, but for that which she has given the governor an oversight of. Her baby, I'm telling you, his picture's lying the hallway. Dad was already gone. Obviously, this widow here, she's gone on till how long she's been taking care of this child. This is all she got left. She's not making this bread for a family. That's for herself and that son. That's all that mattered to her in life. And now this prophet's cut into the quick. He's touched something personal in that life. There's some picture in this church. God at times doesn't just come to you, but when he comes, he touches your family. And everybody's going to be affected by it. Can you say amen? I do believe this, the problems that came into that home came upon that mother and that son. And the blessing that came upon that home came also upon that mother and upon that son. Can you say amen? So here we are. He said, make me a little cake. And verse 12, well, let me go back to verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, church, I've got a feeling that this time the prophet knew how personal this would be. He knew what a sacrifice this would be. I can almost see him bracing himself. I can almost hear him running the convicting thoughts of his mind. God, you're going to ask me to ask this woman that. God only knows what she has. He could look at her station. He didn't have to look at her clothes. He could see her face. I'm telling you, this horror was etched upon. I mean, death was all over this woman. Hollowness in her face. Obviously, there she had the look of a mother. I'm telling you, I believe you could just see physically, visibly. Now, God had sustained that prophet. I believe that, you know, Daniel and his three cohorts on pulse and water. God had made them fatter and healthier in flesh. When God provides for you, church, he's going to take care of you. Can you say amen? So here's the prophet. He's in good shape. But he comes into this city. Here's this woman. It's time of drought, terrible famine. And she's gathering sticks here among, just gathering sticks. And now he asked her, he said, will you make me a cake? And verse 12. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, and look, behold, look at me. Behold, can't you see? Come on, church. I don't know what kind of attitude come over this woman, but I believe so. You back her in the corner, she'd fight a sow bear. Come on, church. I'm telling you, that woman's going to protect that boy back home. Here's this woman, this coming up out. I mean, she just looked. There was no, now, every time I read this, I can just see this woman. And you know, God looked on and loved her. Come on, church. I'm going to tell you, there are times you're pushed into a corner, your back's against the wall. I doubt that any terrible thing, I doubt that there were any sensed attitude, but she was just going to tell what she felt. This was right off the cuff. It's come up out of this woman. She was speaking to the man of God. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel of oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I'm going to tell you, that boy is going to get the big end of that deal. That biggest cake was going for that son, not that mama. She is going to be full that day. Oh, son, I don't need anymore. Oh, I'm telling you. This last cake I'm going to make, I'm going to go in. We're going to die. Now, this is the state of things. She just said it right there just in a few words. Friends, when she pushed into that corner, just right there, just in a few words, she stated her station in life at that time to the man of God. Now, saints, I'm going to tell you, there are times in your life, if you hadn't been there, if you're not there, if the Lord should tarry, you may be there. But this is not what my message is about. This is just introduction. I want to paint for you how God begins to move. You know, sometimes we feel like God can move when everything is on an even keel. When there's a balance to life, there is a platform from which God can move. He can move in various ways to meet my need. But now in this moment, he's showing how life has been drawn down to simplicity. It's just right down to food. That's a necessity. That's what I need. I don't need a new dress. My son doesn't need a bicycle. I need nothing in life whatsoever. I don't need anything on the wall. Nothing. I'm not looking for a new fur coat. I'm not looking for a candy bar. I'm just looking for something with sustenance to stick in my mouth and put in my boy's mouth. That's what we're down to. That's where we are. Now, saints, let me tell you, here in this moment, now in just a moment, the prophet's going to make a reply. Friends, there are times in our life we feel like God has some kind of gall to be asking us to go beyond where we are already. Come on, church. That's some kind of gall, God. You see where I'm at. You see the hole I'm in and where I'm at. And saints, when you're in a hole, there's a whole lot down in that hole with you. Can you say amen? You're not just, well, here I am in destitute. And your mind's just going, oh no. When you're destitute, your thoughts are destitute. Your body's destitute. Your mind's destitute. Everything about you is in a hole. How many knows what I'm talking about? There was a whole lot behind that woman's conversation. Everything. This was humanity in a horrible place. And God would have to have some kind of gall to expect anything out of that woman. That's just the introduction. That's not the message. But listen to this. Verse 13. Out of all this, can you imagine? Here come prophet. You know, this prophet didn't come out of not knowing what he's talking about. He already knew God. That's why it's so important you and I have a relationship with God. Because if you get personal experience with God, you can have the kind of gall necessary to lift somebody up by their bootstraps. You can't help yourself. But you have got to have something in you to help me help you. Come on, church. You have got to put up a hand or I cannot help you. Amen. If you don't see this, so you've got to have some kind of gall. And the only way you build spiritual gall is you've got to have experienced something for yourself. Or you'll be like them goody things that'll come around and say, oh, that prophet, I cannot believe you. My God, you need to have your head taken off, requiring such from a poor woman. Here she's an emotional wreck, and now you're demanding from her. Who do you think you are? Saints, in those times, you got to know who you are and what you're about. Can you say amen? This prophet knew who he was. He knew who his God was, and he knew the promises of God were true. Can you say amen? Amen. So here we are, this prophet, this woman down in this hole. Here, I'm going to make this bit of cake. I'm going to make this, and we're going to lay down and die. He's asked for a morsel of bread. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. Now, saints, she is gathering two sticks. Now, I don't know about you, but if you make a meal, it takes more than two sticks. That tells me the pot was going to be small because the contents were very little. Amen. Just a little. Didn't take much. It like just nothing. Here she barely had enough to feed herself and her son. She had already made that complaint. She had already made that plain to the man of God. And now he says, fear not. Do what you've told me. But first, you make me a little cake first. Not last. If you got something left over, you got anything of it. Now, wouldn't that have been the right thing to do? That would have been the gentleman. That would have been the gentlemanly thing to do. You know, now, I'm very hungry. Now, woman, if you make yourself and yourself, and if God blesses you, and there's anything left over, make me a little cake too, if you will. Oh, no. He said, make me one first. Before you make you one and your son one, you make me one first. Amen. Fear not. Fear not. Look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her. Now, here's when he said it. It followed. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, and I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now put yourself in this place. Put yourself in Elijah's place. What would you do? Take the heels and run. I'm getting away from this. It's bigger than I am. You know, saints, I'm going to tell you, some problems that people come to you with are bigger than you are. And if God has not done something bigger in your life already, you're not going to have the power to meet that need. You'll fold. And you know what would have happened if he had not have had the gall to say, make me one first? That would have been their last supper. Come on, church. That would have been their last supper. I'm going to tell you, saints, there have been many times when the man of God has to stand against all reason. We're looking for reason today, and it's gotten us in trouble. We're wandering through the mechanics of our minds, and if it doesn't make sense here, then it's not to be a part of our lives. Friends, I'm going to tell you, there are times when God has to move against all reason, and the only way he can do that. Now, you've got to imagine Elijah is about to experience the greatest moment in his life upon that mountain as he meets with 850 prophets of Baal and of the grove. He's going to kill them. He's going to cause all Israel to bow their knee and cry out, "The Lord, he is the God." But in between then and now, something's got to take place in the life of this man who is subject to like passions as we are. That means some things are going to have to change in him. God is going to have to indelibly inscribe into his life something that will carry him beyond his reason. Can you say it? Come on, church, can you say amen? How do you do that? Will you prescribe a curse upon a nation? It's not going to rain until I tell you it's going to rain. And then you hide the man away from everything and everybody, and the only sustaining force in his life is God. That's it. He gives him nothing else but that brook to drink and the ravens who come in the morning and the evening. And if that raven doesn't show up, the prophet's not going to eat today. Every day, church, for a while, I think Elijah was looking up through the treetops and into the heavens. Sure hope them boys show up today. Oh, here they come. Come on. Now, isn't that like us? I mean, it takes a process to ingrain. How many times do you have to go through the same thing before you get it down? How many times have you had to be told the same thing over and over again? They tell us that when you're making an announcement to a body of people, you have to say it 7 times before people lodge it into their mind. I need to make an announcement, I'll just say it over again 7 times. You know those announcements where they repeat that telephone number over and over again, and you're just saying, "Man, would you get off and quit? It's so annoying." But over and over, ingraining something into that mind. So God has to take us into a place and cause this thing to be indelibly imprinted. He was doing something inside Elijah. He was burning something inside of him. I remember when I was helping one of the ranchers in our church in Arkansas, and we were branding cattle, and I'd never branded cattle before. And he'd take that brand and he'd place it on that hide. You'd see that hide singe and that smoke could come out. You could smell that flesh. And I thought, "Man, that's pretty good," but that wasn't good enough. He'd take it back again and he'd poke it on, and he'd hold it on there till that hide was burnt through, hair was burnt through. It got into the flesh and into the skin until it scoured it in there. I'm telling you, it burnt. You could smell that flesh and see that smoke rise, but it was permanent imprint into that flesh. It could not be removed whatsoever. And saints, I'm going to tell you, there are times when God has to burn his will into us. Why does he do that? Is it because he's trying to beat us up? No, sir. He's trying to get us beyond the ability to depend upon natural reason. Can somebody say amen? Here's a woman going to make her and herself, herself and her son's last meal. They're going to lay down and die. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you, unless you've had personally an experience with God, you're not going to deal well with that. No way. You're going to leave it alone. You're going to be all over town looking for some self-help group. Go out there looking for some something to come through town, something to help this woman. There's nothing in town. Nothing. Nothing. And if you turn on your heels, I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? I apologize. That's where the church is at today. I am so sorry I offended you. Would you please forgive me? I realize you've got enough troubles in life. I realize you're going through enough problems. I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? If that would have been the response of the prophet, that woman would have been dead in just a few days. That'd been their last meal. That's it for them. No, no. But friends, I'm going to tell you, God hid that man in a place where God could speak to him and inscribed in his life. When you're waiting in a place for a length of time. There are things that just get inside of you. They're ingrained. You know something, you contemplate something for a while, and after a while you get to know what you're talking. Come on, church, can you say amen? I'm telling you, go around it and around. You go on that same job for 5 years, you can drive there blindfolded. That car almost knows how to get there without your help. You've been there so many times. Same thing with us, church. When you go through something over and over, or you go through it deep, I'm not talking about just a little swat. I'm talking about something that burns itself into that flesh. It's deep, and so you don't tend to forget that. You know, friends, when God does something in our life and he allows us to go through a time where it's inscribed into us, then know this, that's going to be very, very important for your life. Any place God causes you to tarry long there, that place is going to be essentially important to your life. Can you say amen? Now here's this man of God. Now he's come fresh from what God has done with him there by the brook Cherith. And now he comes into Zarephath, the man subject to like passions as we are. Here's this woman that God says is going to take care of you there. She's gathering two sticks. She's going to make a little cake first. Her and her son are going to lay down and die. But God's told the man of God, she is going to take care of you. So friend, all this, he has to process all of this. He's heard from God. God's proven himself day after day after day after day after day. He sustained him. When it all ran out, he moved him. And so he knows God has the ability to take care. So he's armed with this. And when this woman threw up that response, that prophet could see right through it. When he saw right through it, this is his response. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, fear not. Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? Fear not. Come on, church. You going, I mean, it's hell on earth. Some prophet comes along and says, fear not. Come on, church.
Fear not.
Sounds very spiritual. And they always say it spiritually, don't they?
Fear not.
Quote several scriptures to back it up. Woo! I'm telling you. On and on and on and on and on. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto. See, the Bible tells us that a man deviseth his way. You go ahead and do what you said you're going to do, but you make me a cake first. A man deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Come on, church. And in so doing, Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Oh, my God. Saints, God, when God demands something for our life, it always precedes the blessing. There's always something required, necessary from that child of God, and it is going to cost you. Come on, church. It must. It's by necessity. It'd be, you know, in times, it's when you got pocket change, hey, go get you a ice cream cone. You know, it's easy. You got it there. It's good. Oh, blessings. Here, man, let's go out to eat. I'll buy. You know, but when you ain't got nothing, come on, church. I mean, there's nothing. You're not talking about just hypothetically nothing. You're not talking about figuratively nothing. You're talking about you ain't got it. It is not in the house. You've sold everything. I mean, you're sitting on the floor or nothing. I'm talking, come on, church, can you say it, man? You're mortgaged up to the hilt, nothing. You ain't got it. It's not there. But before you get where God's going, it's still going to cost you sacrifice. And God has that kind of gall. Can somebody say amen? He has that kind of gall. He's got to have that kind of gall. And you have got. And the reason many times he comes to us demanding that kind of gall is because he's got to burn something in you beyond natural reason. Can you say, come on, church. In those times, how are you going to know that God can help you in unbelievable circumstances? The only way you can know that is you've got to experience some unbelievable circumstances firsthand yourself personally. Can you say amen? You must do so. Once you go through that, once you experience that, then you have enough gall inside of you to get beyond natural reason. It's when somebody's pushed in the floor and their nose is in the dirt and God says there's one step more, then you've got to necessarily do whatever's necessary to be done. Jesus didn't come down off the cross until the work is finished in that life, because if he had, saints, we'd all be dead in hell today. Can somebody say amen? So it must be. He's talking. He brings us down to the foundation. You rip this all away, and this foundation of this planet is built upon a principle that God put in place. All of the things in life, this is all fluff. All of these are accessories. You rip this whole building away. Friends, it come down to the skin tent, and that's all that's left. He brings us down to that point to prove one thing. If there's nothing at all, I can create something at all. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb. A goal necessary to overcome natural reason. Now look with me, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now I told you before the message, I don't preach on finances hardly ever. But I have felt so strong, so pressed on this, I won't bring this in. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Somebody say, prove me. Somebody say, prove me with some conviction. Amen. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now sounds to me a whole lot like 1 Kings chapter 17, doesn't it? Let's read it again. Bring ye all. Somebody say all. Woo. Somebody say all. Somebody say all with some conviction.
All.
Amen. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Meat in mine house. That's what that woman needed at Zarephath. Come on, church. That's what that little woman needed at Zarephath. She needed meat. That there may be meat in mine house. Now, that may not be what you need, but meat is what you need. Amen. Meet in mine house and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. What is the herewith? Bringing the tithes, all of it, into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's the same stuff. Can somebody say amen? I said it's the same stuff. Amen. Many times, church, we want to wait until we're absolutely destitute before we reach out for repair. He told them before, they said, you're cursed with a curse. Why? Because you've robbed me in tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse because you've not put me first. Friends, when they came in to the promised land, the first thing we required was all of the treasure of Jericho. Now, they wouldn't have mind giving up Ai, but Jericho was a very wealthy city. Every bit of it belonged to God. That was the tithe of the promised land. Achan took the tithe, put it under the floor of his tent, brought a curse upon himself and upon his family. Why was that so necessary? Church, because when you endeavor to do, now you hear me tonight, forget about your pocketbook, there's a whole lot more important there than that. Amen. You do the will of God, God will take care of your pocketbook if you believe it. Come on, saints. I'm telling you, whether it's your health, we could be talking about the health in your body. God will take care of your health if you'll take care of God first. You make God a cake first, You prove God first and he'll take, come on, can you say amen? It's all accessories. This is finances and this is health and this is relationships. And these are the need. It's just all accessories. What is the skin tint, church, is whether I'm going to do the will of God or not. Come on, say. It's when I give God first, I put God first in all things in my life. I say, God, you're number one. Everything that I do, prove me now. Oh, my, that'll be all right. But, it gets hard sometimes, preacher. Why do you think God had to use such an example here? Because sometimes we lift up the same reply. Oh, you don't understand. I need it. God knows you need it. Come on, church. I need it more than God. He's God. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. What's he need? I need this. Woo, somebody say praise the Lord. Now, this ain't the fun part right here. Maybe we get the fun part here. But I need this. I need this. God knows I need this. And so, I'm just going to take care of this. Oh, my. Saints, here it is in this place of desperation, all of this in a place of poverty. Here this woman was making this last cake. Here she is going to lay down and die. Terrible condition. Not one of us in that condition tonight. Terrible condition. Here comes a prophet skipping into town. Not only was he looking for breakfast, he's looking for a bed. Bed and breakfast. Zarephath, bed and breakfast at the widow's house. I'm telling you. If she just had a candle in a corner of the wall, that's all. But he's looking for a breakfast. He is asking for water. Then he's going for a cake. Next thing you know, I said, I really don't have any place to stay. Woo, come on, church. My, going all the way. But the first thing he said, you make me a little cake first. You prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord, you bring it all. You bring it all in the storehouse. You bring it all in. When Israel come up out of that Jordan River and they came into the promised land of God, he said, you're going to do first. You're going to put me first in all things. You're going to put me first in the feast days. You're going to give me your firstborn son that comes from your bowels. You're going to give me the first fruits of the land. You're going to give me the first day of the month. All of these first things you're going to give to me. You come into Jericho, the first thing there, the first blessing, the first thing set up, the first blessing of the promised land is Jericho. It's mine. It's your sacrifice. It's a tithe unto me. It's saying God's your first. Here is a jewel in the crown of God. Here's a jewel in the crown of the land of Canaan. This is the blessing provision of God. I can imagine as they're marching around that great city saying, ooh, I'm telling you, that looks like a nice place to live right up there. I believe if I can just get over there, I'm buying into that. My, it's got a nice southerly exposure to it. This line all at night looked very nice. Here's this great wall city. It looks something great for the eye to behold. My, casting, God says, you're going to give it to me first. Amen. When they came in, it all fell down flat. They took nothing, but Achan did. Robbed his inheritance. Why was that so important, church? Because they had to go in and they had to possess the land. There were other walled cities and there were many giants in that land. And the only way they could take possession of those lands is they had to do it God's way. Come on, church. They had to do it God's way. Remember that the spies, the 12 spies that came into the land of Canaan said, we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers and so were they in theirs. It is a land that eateth up of the inhabitants thereof. That tells me in my natural reason there is no way possible that we can hope to take this land. Saints, that's why God has to indelibly inscribe into them something that can overcome natural reason. If you're trying to make sense out of God, you'll stay down in that hole and you'll eat your last supper. Come on, church. But when you realize that God has the gall to tell you if you've got one cake left, then you make mine first, and if there's anything left over, you make one for you. He doesn't give you the afterthought until he gives you the beforethought. You're going to buy into what God says beyond natural reason, or you're going to die in that hole. If you believe it, can you say amen? Hallelujah! You make him a cake first, not last, not later, not when you can. I said, not when you can. Because can will never come Come on, church. Isn't it amazing how can never comes? Never. It's a deterioration. What happens is, what we develop is a bag with holes. Come on, church. Now, I'm not just talking about you. You made $1,000 this week. $1,200 worth of bills start coming in. I'm not just talking about that. You're going to feel through your body physically, and you're going to feel the ailments and the problems are going to mount. Relationships are going to sour and spoil. Everything about you is going into trouble. And you're pulling the timbers of your house down on your head. Why? Because you wouldn't give to God first. Come on, church. That's the way it works. It's not when you can. It's not when it's reasonable. Because if you can reason out of tithes, and you can reason out of worship, and you can reason out of prayer, and you can reason out of Bible study, you're going to hell. I'm telling you, that's the account, because somewhere you're going to turn south. You're going back to where you came from. Why? This has to be, natural reason has to go. Church, there are times when God has got to send the prophet to a woman as her last meal, and he says, you make me one for you. Do what you're going to do, but you make me one first. That's gall, the gall of God. We could call that title, the gall of God. And saints, until you go through something that burns something inside of you, you've got to have something burn inside of you. You've got to have it burn down inside of you that you know that, how many knows that God's faithful? How many knows that God's faithful? Now, we know God's faithful, but if I were to put that on a number line from 1 to 100, where would your percentage be? Only according to your own experience. Saints, can I tell you, many people know God's faithful, but not enough to overcome natural reason. God's faithful, but, you know, there are times God expects a man to help himself. Come on, church. You know, you got to help yourself. You got to have some wisdom. Woo! How many's heard that? How many's used it? You got to have some common sense. God expects me to be a good steward. Come on, church. I'll take care of all of these things, all of these bills, and what I have left over is a tithe of God. First, number one. Because what happens is you put the blessing before you. You get that blessing before you, then that's what's controlling and leading your life, the blessing. The gift is bringing a blessing everywhere it turns. Amen. You put that blessing out there before you. It's when you put God before you. Then he is going to the camp of Canaan. He's the blessing before you. Going to tear down the walls of the enemy and destroy the giants. You put that blessing up there. But when you take that blessing and put it at the back part of, come on, church. You leave the blessing back at the camp. You leave it back home. Amen. And you don't put it before the army, you're going to die at Ai. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen? You're going to die at Ai. Just a little thing can overcome you because you didn't put the blessing before you. The blessing has to go before you no matter what. Amen. Friends, I'm going to tell you, you've got to eat tomorrow. You've got to work tomorrow. But let me tell you something more important than that. You've got to breathe. If you don't breathe, you're not going to have to worry about eating. You're going to have to worry about working. And when we get to the point where we realize that God has to be first, just like we're breathing, then saints, we get up in the morning, God's number one. Can you say amen? And what goes before us in this battle with the enemy is a blessing that leads and guides the way. If you believe it, would you give the Lord a praise offering in this house? Hallelujah! God, I would, but... Friends, I'm going to tell you, I would, but keep you in a hole all the days. You'll die there. You'll die there, and what you do is somebody going to pitch you over some wallpaper so you can make your hole look better. Come on, church. Throw you some carpet down there so the bottom of that will be a little better. Throw you some daisies down there so you can make things, you know, set up house a little better down that hole you're living in. And you're going to stay there pretty much all your life. You just be in that hole. And you can move from hole to hole. Come on, church. Somebody help you up out of that hole. Somebody with a blessing going before them, reach down, pick you up by the hair of the head, and because the blessing's going before them, they're dragging you behind them, and they set you up at camp, and they're going on. After a while, here you are. You're standing up here, but if you don't put that blessing before you, you're going to dig a hole right where you... Come on, church. I said, you're going to dig a hole right where you are. You're going back down in that hole, and your life is going to be a dot to dot, from hole to hole to hole to hole. Well, sometimes when we bleed a little of God in there, the hole's not as quite as deep as it was, but just a little shallow. Our head's sticking up now. We can see the potential that our life could have. But because we won't give it to God in everything that we do, we're still down in a hole. Come on, saints, can you say amen? It is absolutely vitally important that you put God, make him number one. You make God that cake first. You give it to God first. He said you bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, let me talk on this for just a moment. Saints, can I tell you, if you don't bring all the tithe into the storehouse, I'm talking about Landmark Tithe. If you go to this church, this is a storehouse. Now, you give all the money you want to an offerings over here, and I'm not talking about a desperation, destitution. All of our bills are paid by the help and grace of God. And saints, they will be paid as long as God takes care of them. So I'm not coming to you asking you for a dime, because when God starts something, he'll finish it. But if you're going to be a part of it, then you've got to do it God's way. Can you say amen? I remember a man came to me in my church in Arkansas, and he was talking to me, and he said, you know, we've been in such financial straits, and I'm talking on money for a minute, something everybody understands, talking on money. You know, he came to me, and he said, well, can I, Pastor, can I just talk to you personally? I'd just like to show you my budget I've kind of laid out here. You know, I didn't want to hear all about his budget. That was his own personal situation, but he wanted to share it with me. And so, you know, that wasn't going anywhere. You know, I just took on the role. If you want to share it, I want to be interested in what you're interested in. And saints, I'm going to tell you, if you've got something you want to bring to your pastor, I don't have to know everything about your business, but if you want to come and share it with me, I'm going to take a personal interest in what you bring to me. So as I did with this man, so he began to tell me all about this. Well, I got this for the house, automobile, you know, food, and all down this line right here, and to come to this, and I think we can just barely make it at the end of the month with this. And then he looked at me. He said, what do you think? I said, well, you know, you got to have grace. So I was looking at you. This man was barely making it. And I have got to exercise gall. That's hard, church. I would like to alleviate that man of his problems. But if I'd done that, Brother Russell, you know where he'd been today? Down in that hole. That's where he'd stayed, in that hole. He'd been there. He'd be there today. He's not. He got a brand new log home up there in Arkansas. His boys, great jobs. God's blessing them. But there I was, I had to exercise gall in that life. I said, you know, brother, I said, man, that's really good. I think you're pretty good. Figured out. Just one question. I don't see your tithe in there. He stepped back and he said, I knew that's what you'd tell me. And I said, well, you know, and I shared with him, as I always do. I said, brother, it's not that we need it in the church, you know, God bless it. Of course, you know, it always needs whatever, but that's not it. God's going to take care of that. But I said, if you don't put God first, you've got to put him first. This is just an icon. It's an emblem of your life. You're saying, God, I have sweat my brow, gathered in. This has got to be first. And from that day forward, he began to put God first in his tithes. And God allowed him to go through a time of testing, which most people have to. Just want to see if you really mean what you mean. Amen. You know, you're not trained just to get out there. Okay, you're done. Next. Oh, no. You go through training ground. Now you're going through testing ground. Let's see if it's stuck. Amen. So he went through a time of terrible testing. But he put that tithe. God began to bless him. Church, can I tell you, that's the way. You don't worry about the blessing. It's God first in that life, in all things. You know, I give God time, but I don't have it. I just don't have the time. It's not there. It's just not there. There's not enough time in the week, and there never will be. Isn't that right? I mean, there will never be enough time in the week. Never. You're never going to have time to pray. Isn't that right? Never. Wednesday always comes on the wrong day. Sunday, two services in one day. That's the weekend. I mean, never enough time. I mean, and we don't get out of here at 12 o'clock. I don't think that ever happens. You know, I just don't watch that. It's big enough. I think Rebecca and Andy did that on purpose. Not that it's a big old clock. No, I'm just kidding. Big old clock. But we never get out of here. You know, and if we would, that'd be fine. But if we're not, that's fine too. I don't ever remember the Bible where God said what he's going to do among the people by time clock. That ever happens, church, we're backslidden. Starting right here. Amen. We never, you know, just not enough time to worship God, not enough time to get in. Amen. There'll never be enough time. You can expend all of your efforts trying to take care of the thing that you care about the most. Watch it. It's going to slip right through your fingers. I promise you. You spend all of this time trying to take care, and it's going to slip right through your finger. It's by nature. It has to. It doesn't have the ability. And you can defend it all you want to. And this woman say, I'm making myself, my little boy, a little cake. We're going to lay down and die. That's it. You know, and I believe she looked at him with a scowl. Did you see me? Can't you see these two sticks in my hand? Do I look like I'm kidding? You know, here's this woman. She's looking at this man. What would you expect? What do you expect? He's just going to say, oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, foolish me. You know, like they say today, my bad. I just hate these new cliches. That's my own soapbox. But here, just, you know, go through all this. It's, you know, my fault. That's not, you know, here comes a prophet. He said, that's all right. You do what you're going to do. But you make me a little cake first. Why is this so important, church? Because it's to inscribe indelibly imprinted us the importance of this thing. That when there was such gall of God required upon this woman in a destitute state, then you've got to know that unless you put God first in all things, that none of these things can remain behind you. It's what you put, it's what follows the gift of God. Everything behind the gift, God's going to bless it. You stay under that cloud, and that's where the provision is. But anytime you stop this, bring the ark back inside the camp. You don't let it go before the army. Church, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fight these battles all alone and by yourself. You're going to try to take care of your family, and you're going to try to take care of your finances, and you're going to try to take care of that house, and you're trying to take care of that marriage and those kids and all of that stuff, and it's all going to go down in a hole, and it's going to die down in a hole, and you're going to move from hole to hole, and your kids are going to create a hole because that's all they've known is a hole. Can somebody say amen? Everything about your life is a hole. Some holes are big and some are little, but they're still holes. That's all we know. Until you put God first. God has to go first. Number one. One. Make me a little cake first. Prove me now herewith. That's all the tithes in the storehouse. That tells me in good times and bad, it doesn't make any difference. It belongs to God. Come on, somebody say amen. I said it belongs to God. Oh, my. Oh, there's that preacher down there. I'm telling you, I know he's got more than one tithe, and he wants my money. Wants my money. Woo! He's got two automobiles, lives in a brick home. I've been there. He wants my money. Friends, if you think I'm in this for money, I don't think I need to go anywhere else. Come on, church. But I will tell you, until you get a hold of this thing that God has to be first in everything in your life, you're going to live in a hole, and you're going to move from hole to hole. Your life will always be, come on, church, can you say amen? It'll always be there. I don't even enjoy, these are not messages that I enjoy preaching. But I will tell you, until you realize you've got to give God number one, you've got to move beyond the natural reason. If I don't personally attend to everything, it's not going to work. Unless I try to do this on my own, it's not going to work. If I put something else, I've got to take care of this. Everything's got its place, and I've got to take care of each place and do everything and take care of all of these things. I've got to make this work before this will. You'll be trying to fix all of this stuff, and you'll be fixing all your life. You'll be trying to maintain something. You fix this, and that's going to break down. You run over there and fix that, and that's going to break down. Come on, church. It's all going to break down on you. It's just going to keep breaking down on you. And it's going to break down further and further and further. Why is that? Because you have no sense, and because you're out of your mind and you're illiterate and you know nothing. You've been nowhere. You have no commonality. You're just stupid. You're ignorant. You're foolish. You're too young. You're too old. You hadn't been to school. You've been to too much school. You eat too much. You don't eat enough. You haven't. All of that. That's not it at all. It's because God isn't number one. You can never fix anything until God's first. That has to be first. One. He has to be first in all things. Always number one. He has to go before. And saints, only when we put God before us, only when Israel put God out front, when that ark went first, church, I'm going to tell you, everything was blessed behind it. Can you say, oh my God, what happened? How did they cross Jordan? When the priests hold that ark, stand still in Jordan, that water's going to part. You put God first, church, and everything behind it's going to be blessed. Can you say amen? I said everything behind it is going to be blessed, and God is going to take care of it. But we've got to make him that cake first. Lord, you've got to be Lord of my life. He has to be number one in everything you are. He's got to be number one in your health. He's got to be number one in your finances. He's got to be number one in your family. He's got to be number one in your time. He's got to be number one in every facet of your life. Anything that we fail to give God, it's going to work out in poverty, work out in difficulty, work out in trouble, work out in tragedy. How can you deal with this? First of all, church, let me tell you something. Before you can understand this, you know, nobody can understand until God puts you through a trial. The only way you can understand the depth of this is you've got to go, now, God, I'm putting you first, and here I am in a hole. So was the prophet. This was a man of God. He said, it's not going to rain till I tell you it's going to rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. God hid him out by the brook Cherith, but the Bible said the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Explain that one. I'm the man of God. This curse is because of the judgment of that nation. But my brook's dried up. This doesn't make any sense. You're going to have to go through struggle and hardship and difficult times until you learn the gall of God, that God will also put his children through times of affliction. That until the husbandman is first partaker of the fruit, he cannot really respect nor appreciate the ground that he works. Can you say amen? You're going to go through struggle. And if you're not willing to go through that time, you can never help anybody out of their hole, because you cannot get out of one yourself. Can you say amen? You can go to all the seminaries. You can go to all the how-tos. You can have credentials next to your name as long as my arm. Saints, I talked to a man the other day. Said his son just come out of college and now he's working down at Starbucks. Friends, let me tell you, until you and I can put God first, amen. Put him first. Can somebody say amen? He's got to be first. When you go through that hardship and struggle and difficulty, if you've been through pain, if you've been through suffering, if you've been through trouble, saints, when you get on that, you're facing somebody in struggle and difficulty and pain, and it doesn't make any sense to them, you've already learned the gall of God. You've learned the gall of God. He's moved you beyond the ability to just natural reason and realize that when there's nothing left, put God first and let him take over in your life. If you believe it, would you slip your hands up all across this room? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you tonight and we give you the praise. Oh, my God, I thank you, Lord, for this message. Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts, for the ears of those who have ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, the church is supposed to be going someplace, and you're directing that way, but the blessing must go out before us. The ark must precede us, oh God. That cloud must rest daily above our head. We must go in the will of God. We prove you now. We don't live in the continuing state of proving God, but we proving to start the engine. My God, put God first. And I want to encourage you tonight as you're shut in with the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, bow your head, just as a way of giving everybody a chance to be private in their own thoughts and mind. You're in this place tonight. First of all, if you're not living this lifestyle, there's a conviction that gets out. You've put other things first. You put other people first. You put family first. You put your job first. You put your friends first. You put your finances first, your recreation, all of these things. Then this message is applying to you. God the Holy Ghost is trying to speak to you. You're here tonight in this place. You realize that this isn't so. This isn't just out of the head of the preacher. You know that God is speaking to you tonight. You put other things first. You're trying to fix things that won't fix. You're spreading things all over the floor. The more you spread them, the farther they roll. You can never bring them all in. You can't gather all your eggs in. You fix one thing, you put out one fire, here comes something else breaking, another fire starting. And it'll always be that way. You've begun a trend that you've come to adopt and you've come to accept. And I promise you, never change. Your life. It's never going to change. Never, 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 never. You're never getting out of that hole. I promise you, never are you getting out of that hole. Why? Because you're aching. You put the fruit of Jericho onto the floor of your tent. I need this. I've lived in poverty, hardship, difficulty. I'm putting this in there for a rainy day. Things come up, I'm going to take care of things. Why? Because you've got natural reason. You're depending upon natural reason. It's destroying your spirit. Amen. As long as you continue to do that, fail to put God first, you're pulling the timbers of your house down around about you. You're here tonight in this service, and God the Holy Ghost moving in this place. God's speaking to him. He's endeavoring to speak to you. I'm not going to come and talk to you personally about this. This is general preaching. I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to deal with every life. You're here in this room tonight. You're shut in with God. I just want you to allow God to speak to you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm not here to kick you, belittle, or think ill of you. I'm here simply to preach this message. To preach this message. The church is going to go on. God's work is going to go on. But you're going to miss it because you're going to be in a hole while it's going on. Let me tell you tonight, friend, you're here and it's not going to come easy because you haven't made it easy for God to move in your life. Now, I'm speaking, if God is not speaking these particular words to you, then don't adopt what God's not saying to you. But if He is, take it in, please. You're here tonight in this place. God's speaking to you in this room. You realize there are areas, or one area, two, whatever, maybe all areas, that you have not fully given God first place in your life. You've held on to some things. God's wooed you. He's warned you. He's pulled at you. But you've strengthened yourself against the voice of God. You have closed your ears to truth. You have calloused your heart and yourself to what God would say. You have made excuses for the way you feel. You've set up thrones and kingdoms in that life. An idol been set up in that life that you've adopted a thing, come to believe it, and it's not God. You've dug your hole deeper because you've adopted a truth that God's tried to warn you from. You've failed to put God first. Your life is going to continue to produce holes. Oh, my God. Until the day that you decide you're going to put God first in all things. I'm not after the money in your pocketbook. I'm not after the time on your wrist. I'm not after the day of your week. None of those things. You will put God first in your life to fulfill His will. Everything else comes up around it. You must let God go before you in all things. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano as you and I are shut in with God in this place. Now, Father, I ask you, God, that you would speak to your children. I'm asking, God, that you would speak to your church tonight. You love every individual gathered in this place. You do, with a great love. You have a purpose that is potential for every life in this building. But Lord, we can squander that, miss it. We can waste our time on the thing that is nearest to us. We think we're fixing something, taking care of something. That woman thought she was doing the best thing she knew how to do, and she was. The prophet didn't tell her to change anything she was doing. What you were going to do, you go ahead and do. Before you do that, you do something essential. You make me a little cake first. He was a man of God, prophet of God. She wasn't giving it to Jehovah. She was giving it to Elijah. But he represented. He represented something. Oh God, he represented something. Now friends, you're here tonight in this room. God the Holy Ghost is moving in this house. I'm going to ask you to take a moment of your time. Now I want you just to run the gamut of your thoughts right now. Perhaps. I'm not telling you every hardship is due to sin or unbelief. I'm not telling you that there are not difficult times that arise, but saints, it's the source of their rising that is most essential. It'll rain on the just and upon the unjust. There'll be times of desert and heat and snow, winter cold for every individual. But the source of our conflict is most essential. Most essential. One leads us into the ability to understand the gall of God, a perseverance of faith that can take us through every hardship thrown at us. The other one digs a deep hole in the ground from which we die. You die there. You dig your hole deeper and you die. You dig in the wrong way, furiously digging.